You're listening to The Emma Britton Show, and it's time for this week's instalment of Money May. Every Tuesday in May, we're getting some top tips on how to manage your cash from our resident money man, Dave Penny, who's the Managing Director of Invest Southwest, independent financial advisors in Somerset. Dave is making sure we know how to make the most of what we've got and possibly how we can get some more pennies in our pocket. Last week, we talked property, and coming up next week, we're going to talk about insurances. But today, it's all about savings and investments. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Emma.
That's if you've got any money to save in the first place.
Yes, indeed, yes.
I put a little tiny bit away each month, and then something happens, and then I spend it, and then I start all over again.
Well, at least you're saving.
Well, that is true. That is true for a pair of shoes or a handbag. Anyway, saving in general. We should all be doing it, we know, and I think we do know that, just like we know we should all have a pension. But I think at the moment, because interest rates are so low, people see no return on their savings. So is that why they're not bothering?
I think that's a very good point. I mean, the fact of the matter is that putting interest rates so low, I mean, a historically low 0.5% bank base rate for so many years,
yep.
The idea is to encourage companies to borrow money so they can invest and they can help the economy to grow and then dig us out of this hole that we're in. So that's why rates are low. It's for borrowers. So conversely, it's not for savers. It's bad news for savers.
Mm.
And it discourages people from saving. And there is an argument to say, oh, I'll just go and blow it on a pair of shoes or a handbag. Me personally, not a handbag. But, there's logic in that. But that only applies to deposit accounts. If you're putting money into a savings account in the bank or building society,
yep.
That's where that applies. So you have to understand how it's the sensible way for someone to arrange their money. From the Richard Bransons down to the average person in the street, most people have their money in three basic pots, or at least they should do.
Okay.
One is the current account, where yep. your income comes in, whether it's pension or earned income, and your bills go out. The money's not there for long, and it gets virtually no interest. The second pot is your savings and planned spending pot, where the money is there for a bit longer. It's perhaps for a future holiday, or buying a car, or just to help you sleep at night, knowing there's enough money.
Rainy day money.
Yeah, exactly. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
You get a bit of a better rate of interest. We know that the average rate is perhaps 1%. Or
still nothing,
yeah,
is it?
Still very poor. And then there's the longer-term pot. The pot of, if you still have money left over after those two, yeah. it's money which is set aside for retirement or for care costs, God forbid, or to leave to your children or to some big project, where the money will be there for 5 years plus, and then you can aim to get better returns, and you don't need to be stuffed by the low interest rates there are.
If you've got your money in an account that's only paying 1% because you want to be able to get hold of it and whatever, is that better than having it under the mattress?
It is better because you'll get the 1%.
Yeah.
And it's the old West Country phrase about 4/5 of not very much, isn't it?
Because I suppose, you know, and also is safer from a sort of physical, practical point of view, but
yes.
these accounts don't tend to cost you anything, do they?
No, if you put money in a deposit account and if you shop around for an instant access variable rate account, you'll probably get somewhere close to 2%. We've just heard that inflation has gone down a little bit, but it's still not far off 3%.
Yeah.
So you'll still be losing money in real terms in its spending power, but better than being under the mattress where you're losing inflation altogether.
Okay, what about if you are lucky enough to have savings, and many people listening will because they've been careful or prudent or lucky or successful, should you spread your savings about and have, like, you know, a gazillion different little accounts? Because people got caught out, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Eggs in different baskets is a phrase that all of our parents have told us about. For deposit accounts, Emma, if your total savings are below £85,000, which is where the government guarantee sits, then for deposit accounts, no, it doesn't make any sense to have your eggs in different baskets, because if it's in one account, less than £85,000, the government will guarantee your money. So really there, if it's on deposit account, you need to shop around, find the best account, and put
yeah.
it all in that one place. I have lots of clients, and they usually are retired people who are very cautious, and they come in and they dump carrier bags on my desk, and they've got a dozen different accounts with £1,000 or £500 in them. It makes administration a nightmare, and they have to go into each of these banks to do what they need to do, and there's often a bit of selling going on as well, which
yeah.
they find quite stressful.
Yeah.
So no, if it's a deposit account, just have one account, the best one, and choose that one. For the third pool of money, so
this is your long-term
for your longer-term money, then yes. In fact, it's been proven that historically 90% of performance of that third pool of money comes from having a spread. So the eggs in different baskets then absolutely applies. There are four main big assets that you can have. Cash, we all know about. Property, we all know about, shares, most of us know about, and then what's known as fixed interest. And if you spread your assets in that third pool across those four, depending upon how risk averse or risk friendly you are, then that will tend to give you the returns which reflect, if you're adventurous or you're cautious. So then, eggs in different baskets, yes, absolutely great idea.
Okay, well, coming up, I'm going to talk to Dave about investments, because I don't know about you, I think that's something that other people do. You know, I wouldn't know a stock or a share if it fell in front of my face. Who should do it? How is it risky? Where do you go from advice? Who or what do you invest in? We're in the middle of Money May with our resident money man, Dave Penny. This week we're talking savings and investments. If you've got a quick question for Dave, then get it in on the text 81333. Start your message with the word Somerset, or you can pick up the phone 0845 303 1566. Emma Britton Show on Tuesday morning. I'm with you until 12 o'clock. Then coming up between 12 and 2, a very special show today. Yeovil Town are parading through the streets of Yeovil Town Centre in order to show off their League One playoff trophy and celebrate the fact that they are now in the Championship. Players and staff are going to travel on an open-top bus from Hewish Park, leaving at around 12:15 this afternoon. They're also going to leave again at 5:15 tonight to head for a civic reception as well. And then this afternoon they're going to stop in the borough, the town centre, for around an hour, where there's going to be speeches and fans will have the chance to get autographs and pictures with the players as well. We're going to bring you full coverage between 12 and 2 today.
Emma Britton, BBC Somerset.
We're in the middle of this week's episode of Money May with our resident money man, Dave Penny. This week we're talking savings and investments. Dave, I suppose you only deal with people with loads of money. Do you ever deal with anyone who's only got a little bit?
However much money you've got, Emma, it's a lot, isn't it? Whether it's a millionaire or somebody with £10,000 in savings or even less than that, to each of those two people, that is a lot of money. So The answer to the question, there's no such thing as a lot or a little bit of money. It's for each person, it's a lot. And therefore, you have to treat them with the same amount of respect and care.
I just wonder if people who don't feel they've got much don't seek financial advice because they think that they haven't got enough to warrant it.
Absolutely. So many people have said to me, I don't merit you sitting with you and having advice, or I can't afford your advice, or I'm not worth being sat with.
Yeah.
And it sometimes takes a long time for us to explain to people that everyone's the same, we treat everybody the same. Sit down, let's look at your situation, look at your objectives, see how close you are to achieving those, and then see if we can help you to do so. It makes no difference what the amount of money is, Emma. It's the same amount of care and duty of care that we have.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many noughts in your bank book. So we talked a bit about savings. I wanted to talk to you about investments. This is something I know really nothing about. Do you have to be a certain kind of person to risk investments? Are all investments risky?
Well, there's bad news and good news. The first one is, yes, there's no such thing as no risk. The bad news is that those people who sit down and say, right, I'm going to have absolutely no risk with my savings, there's no such thing. If you think about the news today that inflation is just below 3%, that the average deposit account rate is 1%-ish, well, you're losing 2% per year in real spending terms. If you put £10,000 away on that maths,
yep,
you put £10,000 away in a deposit account, in 20 years' time, your money will have the spending power of £6,500.
Don't realise that, because in their bank they still see 10,000.
Indeed, and that's known as inflationary risk. So understand that whatever you do with your money, under the mattress, in a deposit account, putting on a horse in the races, whatever you do, there is risk, and it's about being grown up about that risk, being sensible, and then of course for the third pool of money, your longer term money, then achieving a spread. And if you get the spread right, then which reflects whether you're adventurous or you're cautious, then there are far better returns available than the 0.5% that you might get in a deposit account. Since 2007, when my business set up, and that's the eye of the storm, 2007, Emma, when things went horribly wrong for this nation for a long time, our pool three investors have been averaging in excess of 3% still, even with that awfulness. And if you begin in 2009 with your investments, they're up around the 10% plus. It fluctuates. There is risk, of course, but as long as you're sensible about it and you spread, then however small your investments are, then there's every chance that you can get a far better return than deposit accounts.
And how do you work work out what level of risk someone's prepared to take? Because that's quite hard.
It is. The first thing you need to do is educate someone. So you need to spend some time explaining about the nature of risk and reward and where you are on that ladder. What we do is you put someone through a detailed questionnaire. It's not rocket science.
No.
Anyone can answer it. We have a discussion around that and we grade somebody at 1 to 50. And then that feeds through into a model which says how the spread should be achieved. And it's important also that you rebalance. So if we see someone, and as I repeat, this could be a small investor with not much money, you still need to rebalance and make sure it stays at the right profile over their lives.
How do you know who to trust? Because when I read about stocks and shares, which is rare, but I might see something in the paper at the weekend or whatever, there's so many. There's like everything.
Yes.
You know, you can invest in pretty much anything.
Yes.
How do you know? Who do you trust?
Yeah, it's a bit like walking into the chemist, isn't it, and looking at all the drugs.
Yes.
And going, right, I'll have that one for my problem.
Yes.
It's exactly the same in the world of finance, and it is difficult to know who to trust. And of course, lots of the advisory channels have closed down. The banks and so on have closed their advisory channels down. If it's a deposit account you're looking at, if that's appropriate for your pool one or pool two of your money, then I suggest a good place to go, which is quite unbiased, is a website called moneyfacts.co.uk. Lots of these ones have sponsors and it's not very honest, but Money Fact is good. If you're finding the best rate deposit account, that's a good place to go. If you don't have access to the internet, then the newspapers will have comparison tables. They're not perfect, but it certainly is a way of shopping around. If, however, it's that third pool of money, your longer term money, which will really be hurt by staying on deposit for a long time, then I'm afraid you do need to find an advisor who is independent, who has access to the whole of the market, who can look at everything for you. Word of mouth is quite powerful. If you know someone who's been helped, who has had a good experience, and there are nowadays in the modern world some sort of word of mouth websites where people who have, a bit like TripAdvisor, really.
TripAdvisor for financial people.
Indeed, and there's one called vouchedfor.co.uk, vouchedfor.co.uk, where people can get all of their reviews together, and if you see someone with lots of good reviews, they're likely to be a decent advisor. Another one which we've mentioned before but is really good, put your postcode in into unbiased.co.uk and you'll only find independent advisors there close to where you live.
Okay.
Sit down with them, ask what their service is, ask what their charges are. So what am I going to pay and what will I get for what I pay? So interrogate them, you know, put them on the spot. I'm happy with that as an advisor. And for that third pool of money, it's worth doing, because the difference in what you might get, you know, that £10,000 either becomes £6,500 in real terms in 20 years, or it might grow by 6, 7, 8% per year. So there's a big difference and it's worth making the effort.
A couple of quick questions that have come in on the text. Paul, who's in Yeovil, I hope I've sometimes text, and it's predictive text, I blame, because sometimes words don't come out properly. I think what Paul's saying, he says, are shares the best return long term? I have a portfolio which is beating the high street by miles, says Paul.
That's a good question. All I can do, Paul, in the absence of my crystal ball, I'd like to be Mystic Meg, but I'm not, is look historically. Historically, yes, shares have been where the greatest returns have been over the long term, as in like 100 years, and that beats property, much though that many folks won't believe that. It beats property. In the last 10 years, shares are up 130%, property's up 30%.
Right.
So you'd have twice as much money in shares if you'd invested it versus property. So long term, historically, the answer to that question is yes, but they do fluctuate in value, and if you choose badly, if you put your money into one share, you are taking an enormous risk, and we would always recommend that there's a very wide spread, which of course can be done relatively easily by a professional advisor.
And is that what it means when you have a portfolio?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And we choose multiple funds. Each fund's got 50 different investments. We choose multiple funds, so you're in hundreds of investments, even if the amount of money that you're investing is small.
Steve has been in touch on the text. He says, I've got my savings in a 4% 2-year ISA. Is there anything better after the term is up, says Steve? 4% sounds good.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And that does beat inflation. And what we find is when we say the average rate of savings is 1% or less, people who tend to go into those rates, and that is a good rate, is that people don't diarise it coming off and then it drops down to a 0.01%. But that's a good rate. If you were looking right now for if your investment customers maturing now and you're looking for an alternative, the answer to your question is no, there isn't anything with that good a rate available. A couple of regular savings plans, but nothing which is fixed rate. You're looking more like 2 or 3% for that kind of term.
And a very quick question, which we actually touched on last week, but I don't think another Steve who's got in touch may not have been listening. He says, Dave, I'm a retired homeowner. Is equity release a good way forward to realise a bit of cash on, say, a £200,000 house? I'm 65.
Well, you are very likely to be able to release cash if that's the house that you own. I would always suggest you explore alternatives. Think about, would you be happy to move and release house by just selling to have a smaller house?
Yeah.
Are there government grants available, means tested benefits, that kind of thing? But if you've explored all other options, then equity release is a perfectly good product now. And as I said last week, there are rates of 5.75% fixed for life. So yes, they're a perfectly good solution to a specific problem.
Equity release, when it first came out, was a little bit new ground and it got a bit of bad press.
In the 1990s, it was the Wild West, Emma. There was some bad advice given. Now you have to have specific qualifications and much more regulation to ensure that a good job is done.
Thank you for your questions. Dave's going to be back next week. We're going to talk about insurance. I don't know about you, but it seems you can insure yourself for the wind changing direction. What do you need? What are the basics that we need? When is insurance worth have or not having? Dave will be back next week for the final instalment of Money Mate 2013. Dave, thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Welcome.